ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
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 श्रीमद् भगवद् गीता टेक्स्ट 28 of Chapter 7, Translation and Commentary by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. We didn't put it on any board because everyone in Bangalore has their smartphone or iPhone or whatever. You can read it from that. Except the boys on the farm don't have. But they should have it. Already learned, is it? Do you know that verse 7? You may not know the number. Ye shang tuan da gatang pa. You must know. Learn that verse? You didn't get to chapter 7 yet. Anyway, you can learn it now by hearing. That's the traditional Gurukul system. No books. Just brains. Shabda and Smriti. So yeah, chapter 7, text 28. Yeshang tvantagatang papam.
Yeshang tvantagatang papam.
Jananam punya karmanam.
Jananam
punya karmanam. Te dvandva moha nirmukta.
Te dvandva moha nirmukta.
Bhajante mang dridha vrata.
Bhajante mang dridha vrata.
Yeshang tvantagatang papam.
Yeshang tvantagatang papam.
Jananam punya karmanam.
Jananam punya karmanam.
Te dvandva moha nirmukta.
Te dvandva moha nirmukta.
Bhajante mang dridha vrata.
Bhajante mang dridha vrata.
Persons who have acted piously in previous lives and in this life, and whose sinful actions are completely eradicated, are freed from the dualities of delusion, and they engage themselves in my service with determination. Purport. Those eligible for elevation to the transcendental position are mentioned in this verse. For those who are sinful, atheistic, foolish, and deceitful, it is very difficult to transcend the duality of desire and hate. Only those who have passed their lives in practicing the regulative principles of religion, who have acted piously, and who have conquered sinful reactions can accept devotional service and gradually rise to the pure knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then, gradually, they can meditate in trance on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the process of being situated on the spiritual platform. This elevation is possible in Krishna consciousness in the association of pure devotees. For in the association of great devotees, one can be delivered from delusion. It is stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam that if one actually wants to be liberated, he must render service to the devotees. Mahatsevam dwaram ahur vimuktehe. But one who associates with materialistic people is on the path leading to the darkest region of existence. Tamo dwarang yoshitang sangi sangam. All the devotees of the Lord traverse this earth just to recover the conditioned souls from their delusion. The impersonalists do not know that forgetting their constitutional position as subordinate to the Supreme Lord is the greatest violation of God's law. Unless one is reinstated in his own constitutional position, it is not possible to understand the Supreme Personality or to be fully engaged in his transcendental loving service with determination. Is translation needed for anyone? Everyone can follow English well. If you know someone who needs a translation, please help them, because they may not understand what I'm saying even now. Telugu? Is the Telugu is the Telugu household? No. Okay. Koi sharam ki baat nahi hai. Agar aapko angrezi nahi aate. Maybe they're afraid to say. You're not considered a full human being unless you know English. Okay. One who is sinless can take the devotional service. In this life and the previous life. Well, there must be some modicum of sin to even be born in this material world. When you're completely sinless, then one is not born in this material world at all. Signs of being pious in the previous life, Jananam Punya Karmanam, Srila Prabhupada specifically states that this refers to the previous life. The sign of someone who is pious in their previous life is Janmaishvarya Shruta Shri, birth in a high family, wealth. There's a difference. Generally it's thought that birth in a wealthy family is good, but there's a difference because one can be born in a family which is not wealthy, but that is considered high. In the Vedic culture, the Brahmana might not be wealthy, might be deliberately poor, but considered very high and very pious. That's considered a very pious birth. As Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, when an astrologer came and calculated what is the previous existence of Nirmai Pandit, and he said, "Oh, I see you are the cause of everything and all the planets rest in you. You're the Supreme Personality of Godhead." And he said, "You're not a very good astrologer. I happen to know that because I was looking after cows in my previous life, therefore I got birth as a Brahmin." So in his previous life, he was Krishna looking after cows. So he got birth as a Brahmin. So, well, maybe high birth, then wealthy, that's also alluded to in the previous chapter. Shuchinam Srimatam Gehe. These are considered to be born in a family of Brahmanas, a very pure family, or Srimatam, Aishvarya. That means they're wealthy, to be pious Vaishyas. So this is considered a pious birth. Janmaishvarya Shuta, to be well educated. This doesn't mean to get modern education, but that means to Shuta means specifically to hear what is to be heard. Shabda can mean any sound, but specifically means Shruti, that which is to be heard, to hear the Vedas. So the higher birth is the Brahmana, Kshatriya, and Vaishya, although Vaishya is also sometimes counted with the lower births. It's getting low. Mamhipatavya Parshasya, Yepi Syuf Papayoni, Astriyo Vaishyas Tata Shudras, Tepi Yanti Parangatim. So the highest birth is Brahmana, then the next is Kshatriya, next is Vaishya, next is Shudra, is a low birth, and then there's out of orbit altogether, out of the Varnashram system, the Panchama, the Antyaja. Pancham means the fifth class, and Antyaja, born outside the Vedic system. So there are levels. High birth is due to punya, to pious activities in a previous life, and concomitantly low birth is due to sinful activities in a previous life. But then again we find that Janmaishvarya Shuta Shribhir Edamana Mada Puman Naivarhat Yabitatung Vai Twamakincha Guchara, that when one gets facilities of high birth, opulence, wealth, learning, bodily beauty, then the tendency is to become proud. And people who are proud, they can't become Krishna conscious. That is, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given this principle of trinadapi sunichena tororiva sahishnana amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. One is to chant the holy names of Hari, but specifically being very humble, very humble attitude, to think oneself lower than grass, to be more tolerant than a tree, to be ready to offer respect to others and not want respect for oneself. Such a person can chant the holy names. In this attitude, one is to chant the names of Hari. So it's a conundrum that one has to be pious and then one can take to Krishna consciousness. That's not the only condition. Te dvandva moha nirmukta. One's also to be free of all delusions of thinking in terms of I, me and mine, which also means them and theirs. Not seeing everything in relation to Krishna. So when one gets these facilities, then one tends to become proud, and one who is proud cannot approach Krishna. So both things are required, to be sinless and to be pious. Here we can understand pious doesn't specifically refer to the kind of piety that one gets to take birth in a high family. Because again, we have Rupa Goswami's verdict, Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavitamati Kriyatang Yadi Kutopi Labhyate. What's the next line? Tad Mulya Mapi Ekalam Jamma Koti Sukritayana Labhyate. He says that this feeling for Krishna, this taste for Krishna, feelings for Krishna, one should get this. This is the goal. One should get this. If it's available anywhere, you should pay the price. What is the price? The mulyam is lolyam, a strong desire to have it. And that desire doesn't come even from many, many lifetimes of pious activities. So this seems to be a contradiction. One who's performing pious activities, they can take to Krishna bhakti. But pious activities in and of themselves do not give Krishna bhakti. Piety generally, it's a cycle. Piety leads to opulence. Opulence leads to pride. Pride leads to fall down. Then you take birth in lower position. So one has to be humble. But if one is in a high position, one is not humble. That's the general rule. And if one is in a lower position, it's easier to be humble. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also said, Dinere adhik doya kare bhagavan, kulin pandit dhani bara abhiman. Those who are low, those who are very low, they get the mercy of Bhagavan more. Because those who are high, born high, kulin, birth in a high family, pandit, very learned, dhani, rich, they tend to be very abhimani, conceited, puffed up. So simply to be materially pious is not in and of itself a qualification for bhakti. And simply to be poverty-stricken isn't a qualification for bhakti either. There are many rich people who are not interested in Krishna consciousness. There are many poor people who are not interested in Krishna consciousness. This isn't exactly Shastra, but Srila Prabhupada also quoted it. The poet Kalidas said, Daridra dosho gunarashi nashi. Whatever qualities there might be, they're destroyed by poverty. Because if someone is poor, he may be just desperate to get money, may do anything, killing, stealing, cheating, lying. Of course, rich people do that. And mostly in the modern day, rich people are rich because they may not do killing, but mostly they do cheating and stealing and lying. And we're talking about the very rich here. Not respectable middle class people, they're not very rich. They're not very poor and they're not very rich. But the very rich people, we're talking about the big names here, the cheating, lying. Lying in business means lying, or practically. I mean, there are some businesses which you may not lie, but or at least exaggeration. I remember, just came in my mind, I remember years ago, I was in, that must have been August 1977, because that, I was in our center in Delhi at that time, in Lajpat Nagar. So I went to purchase some fruit for the deities, I suppose it must have been. And mangoes, that was August, so it was already the mango season is over, it's already the rainy season. So I saw some mangoes, they looked nice, and they smelled it, oh, already rotten. And but the seller said, no, they're very good. Clearly they're not good. Just by smelling, you can understand. So from the mango seller in Lajpat Nagar Bazaar up to Ambani's and all these people, at the very least they're exaggerating. Honesty is not a good quality if you want to make money in the modern world. So therefore we have Vaishya. They may be rich, but some dishonesty is there. Whereas a Brahmin, he has to be very honest, even to his personal detriment, it might seem like that. So anyway, we have on one side, you have to be very pious to be Krishna conscious. On the other hand, those who are very low, they may be more humble. So that gives them an opportunity to take to Krishna consciousness. So what's best? Should we be rich or poor or somewhere in between? All over the world we generally see that many people who take to Krishna consciousness, they're from the middle class, not very rich, not very poor, somewhere in between. So we have to make some new verses then. Not rich, we have verses saying that it's good to be pious, this verse, and then we have one saying it's good to be poor, and now we have the middle class, so we have to say in a new verse for Kali Yuga, for modern society, the middle class of people, they can more. But the actual position is that we have to take to Krishna consciousness. You may be from in Kali Yuga especially, people tend to be very sinful. That's just ordinary life. In the modern age, ordinary life, no one thinks of plugging in some device for killing mosquitoes by, there's this, what is that called, the good night or all out or something like that. All out, that means they're all killed. People don't think anything of it, whereas previously people were very cautious about killing even a little mosquito. They thought it was sinful. Pesticides, they couldn't imagine. But now it's part of life, the farming. You have to kill millions of little creatures. Of course, even people who are living life in a sinless way, they may not be very inclined to Krishna consciousness. There are in Krishna's pastimes, the brahmanas who are performing yajnas must be very pious people to have such a birth. They're even born within Raja Mandala, just at the edge. But they weren't interested in Krishna consciousness. And Krishna himself came and they didn't want to feed him. They were very pious to get such a position with their yajnic brahmanas, their various levels of brahmanas. But yajnic brahmanas, that's a very high level of brahmana. They're very pious, but not interested in Krishna. And their wives, well, that's also counted among the lower levels. Mam hi partavya pashritya yepi syuf papa yoneha striyo vaishas tata shudras tepi yanti param gatim. Krishna says that even persons of lower birth, if they take full shelter in me, they can attain to me. And he specifically states Vaishyas, Shudras, and women. That's a lower birth, not so pious. But why does Krishna say that? He wouldn't need to say that if it was understood. But it's generally thought that people of a pious background, they're born to worship God. And then again after that, the next verse, Krishna says, what's the next verse after that? Gurukul quiz here. Huh? Mam hi pardevya pashrija, yepi syuf papi yonet. Striyo vaishas tita shudras, tepi yanti parangakatim. Then, it's a question. What's the question words in Sanskrit? Question word. Kim. What? What to speak of? King Punar Brahmana Punya Bhaktaraja Shayastata Anityamasu Kamlo Kam Imam Prapya Bhajasvamam. Then what to speak, Krishna says, of those who are pious? They got birth in a high family of Brahmanas and Kshatriyas, who are my bhaktas. And in this material world where everything is temporary, they worship me. In other words, they can achieve me. But again, notice, anityam, asukam. So if one has a high birth, that's only temporary. And low birth is also temporary. And if you think high birth, now I can enjoy. But why? It's everything here is temporary. If you think I have a high birth, so I have a greater qualification to worship God, but you don't have much time. So we have to do tivrena bhakti yoga. We have to do very intensely. Don't think now I have very high birth, so now I'll do everything and do my sadhana and japa and bhajan and puja. But it's not just the high birth. Don't take it complacently, that just by high birth I'll do it. So of course the wives of the brahmanas who refused to feed Krishna, they fed Krishna. So were they of lower birth? No, they're great devotees. Lower birth superficially. Even according to, if we look and we see the previous lives of various great personalities, it may seem that the karmic cycle is going on for them. It does, but those who are devotees, they're under the shelter of Krishna. They are Mahatmas. What's the verse in which Krishna says that? Well-known verse? Mahatma. Yeah, I'm especially looking at the Gurukul boys here. You're also in the Gurukul. Oh, we're all in Prabhupada's Gurukul. Mahatmanastu mang partha daivin prakriti mashritaha bhajantya nanya manaso gyatva bhuta demabhyayam. So one who's worshipping Krishna, they may be born in any situation, high, low, but Krishna puts them in the situation which is best for them. For some people, it may be conducive to be born in, for some devotees, those who are on their path back to Godhead, but not quite there. Generally, shuchinam srimatam gehe yoga brashto bijayate. Yoga brashto means one who's fallen from the path. But that may also be taken to mean one who's not completed the path. So generally they're born in a very pious family. But that's not always true. Prahlad was born in the most impious family. It means the most impious father possible. He's such a big demon. Not any small demon. Most impious family. But he became the greatest devotee. If we see the qualities of Prahlad, how they're praised, even by Narad, his own guru, such a great devotee. Even Bali Maharaj, how Vamana is serving him because of his relationship with Prahlad. Prahlad's son. But then Prahlad's son wasn't a devotee. He was a demon not just by birth. Prahlad was also a demon by birth. What is that? Daityanam. What is it? Prahladas chasmi daityanam, Krishna says. Among the daityas, he's counted as a daitya. Officially he is. He's in the family coming from Diti. But he's a great devotee. But then his son, not a great devotee. Grandson, great devotee. Great-grandson, demon, fought with Krishna. But he wasn't killed by Krishna, like most of them, because of his relationship with Bali. And Bali is liked by Krishna more because he's connected with Prahlad. So you can't say for sure. It's not that someone who's born in a low family is rejected from devotional service. Someone who's born in a high family, they're automatically devotees. It's not like that. Krishna places people in different situations. Srila Prabhupada was asked about this, that, well, it said you have to be pious in your previous lives. But we weren't. Look at our lives before we took to Krishna consciousness. Most of Srila Prabhupada's disciples were coming from very fallen backgrounds. Western world means very fallen background. Srila Prabhupada said, I have created your pious activities. So that's the factor. The mercy of a pure devotee. That's the main factor. Also, Srila Prabhupada comments that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu predicted that Krishna consciousness would spread all over the world. There must be people there. There are people waiting everywhere to take to Krishna consciousness. That means they had some touch with it in their previous life. In most cases, those who take seriously to Krishna consciousness, they must have had some connection in a previous life. We preach everywhere, all over the world. Same thing we preach to everyone. At least we're supposed to. The same message we say everywhere all over the world. You're not this body. We're all eternal servants of Krishna. We're suffering in this material world, repeated birth and death. We have to surrender to Krishna. We have to chant the holy name. Same thing. More or less the same thing we say to everyone. Yeah. Don't lean on mridanga. Worshipable. Some people, most people, have no interest even to hear all these things. Some people hear it and they don't take it very seriously. Some people hear it and they're interested. And some people hear it and they take to it. Why is that? That's because of previous life touch. My one godbrother who died recently, he told me, shortly after I joined the movement, that he had said to Srila Prabhupada that he was from Wales, South Wales, which at that time, one of the main industries is steel making. I think they still have it going on in another part of Wales, and it's under Tata. They bought it out. So anyway, he was working in a steel works, and he said, oh, it's so horrible. I used to, it's all full of fumes and all this. You have to carry this heavy molten iron ore and pour it, and it's very hot and bad smell and horrible situation. And he said, but I felt it was horrible, but everyone else there, they just took it as normal. They didn't mind. Prabhupada said, yeah, you were a Brahmin in your last life. Wales, you heard of Wales? It's connected with England. It's part of Britain. Great Britain means England, Wales, and Scotland. So he was a Brahmin in his life. How did he take birth in that situation? Shudra kind of work. Then the karmas in Kali Yuga tend to get very mixed up. But the main point, he had some, not just any Brahmin also, he must have had connection with devotional service. Is interestingly, Wales, one of the things that people are famous for is singing. It's a central part of their culture. They sing in the Baptist church choir, and they have a big cultural festival every year, which singing, not listening to singing, but personally singing, and many of them are very good singers. So throughout his life, he was loving to go on Harinam, this Bajahari, my first temple president. And many of the devotees from Wales, they're very good singers, kirtan singers. So many joined in the early days from Wales. They can, unlike English people, they can naturally relate to singing for God because it's part of their culture, still strong. Anyway, I digress. So it's very mixed up, but the point is there are people all over the world who have taken to Krishna consciousness, and that was arranged that they be born in various places, and Prabhupada went and found them, and there are still so many to find and pick up. They took to Krishna consciousness. In England, there was a couple, husband and wife, they were selling trinkets or something on the street. Young people. And the Harinam party went by. They folded everything up, followed them, went back to the temple and joined. They never heard or saw before, but as soon as they saw, this is what we have. They looked at each other. What's that? I don't know, but it looks, let's go and see. They went back, devotees preached to them, and they immediately, that was the end of their trinket business. Then the next day, or maybe the same afternoon, because they used to go out morning and evening, they were out with the Harinam party. So, how is that possible? Because they had piety. Piety means Krishna conscious. Different kinds of piety. Sukriti is another word. There are two types of people. The Namang Dushkriti, you know, the people who don't surrender to me. Dushkriti, sinful people. They may be also great scholars of Shastra, but Maya Aparita Jnana, their knowledge is covered by Maya. Then there are the Sukriti, Chaturvidha, Bhajantema, Jana Sukriti and Arjuna. Arto Jignyasur Artharti Jnani Cha Bharatarshapa. Four kinds of pious people, they worship Krishna. Now, they may not be fully devotees. They want something material. Dhruv Maharaj, he wasn't a devotee in the sense that I want to worship Narayana. But when he heard that what I want I can get by worshipping Narayana, then he worshipped Narayana. Not for the sake of worshipping Narayana, but for the sake of material gain. And he became a great devotee by the mercy of Narada, by the mercy of a great devotee. There are others, Gajendra, he was in great distress. In a previous life, he had worshipped Narayana, and he got the body of an elephant. That's a low birth. Striyo, Vaishyas, Tata, Shudras, and lower. Lower is elephant birth. Dull, not very intelligent. They say elephants are intelligent, but that's relative compared to other animals. maybe to some extent intelligent, but they don't have the intelligence generally to engage in Krishna consciousness. Although some of the elephants who are engaged as temple elephants, they actually become devotional. So that's another thing they're going to ban now. Everything traditional is going to be banned, so that's the next thing, probably temple elephants. Snake charmers, that's banned, right? That's now illegal in India. So he was born as an elephant, but in the time of great distress, there came in his mind prayers to Narayana. How is that possible? Because matasmriti gyanam apohanam cha. Narayana in the heart reminded him. And even in that form, he prayed to Vishnu, who came and delivered him not only from the crocodile who was biting his foot, but from the crocodile of nescience, of the illusion of identifying with this body. Otherwise, he was very happy. See, even in animal birth, the karmas that comes into play, there are various levels. To be born as a lion is to be higher than to be born as a monkey. To be born as an elephant is higher than birth as a worm in stool. As an elephant, he was very happy. Gajendra, he was the king. He was a mighty, powerful elephant in the forest. And he was... he had a big family, and he was maintaining them and looking after them and protecting them, and they all looked up to him. He had so many wives, and they were all, and children, and they were all these less powerful elephants were looking up to him. He's our king, he's our hero, he protects us here in the jungle. Then he went in the water and he was caught by the crocodile in the water. And the crocodile also got delivered by Vishnu. How is that? He was attacking a devotee, but he had contact with the lotus feet of a devotee. So if you want to beat a devotee, don't beat devotees, but if you do, beat their feet, not their heads. You'll get mixed up with the offense will be some benefit. That's the lesson. Tandera charana sevi bhakta shanivas. Janame janame hoy e obhilash. The Prabhupada quoted this when he was explaining how this crocodile got delivered. Because he was in intimate contact with the lotus foot. Not even lotus feet. One's enough. Lotus foot of a devotee for how long is that? 1,000 years? They were fighting in the water. So he quoted this, the lotus feet of the Vaishnavas, living in association with devotees. This is my only aspiration, Narottam Das says, birth after birth. So it may be that someone is pious. In the piety, they have an inclination to worship Krishna, even though they have material desires. That means... Tedvanvan moha nirmukta. They may be pious, that's one thing, but as long as there are material desires, then the piety doesn't come to fruition. One may be pious, but you desire something material, and then again you get entangled. That's you become pious, you get money, you spend it for sense enjoyment. By sense enjoyment, you commit sinful activities. Then you become impious and you go round and round like this. So the piety that helps us to come to Krishna, purify, is connection with Krishna consciousness. Bhakti unmukhi sukriti. The kind of piety that is gained by contact with devotional service. So that maybe some hungry dog and devotee throws him an idli, and the hungry dog eats it. But the devotee doesn't take any idli, he takes prasadam. So the dog just is interested in some food, but he's getting prasadam. So minimal he'll get a human birth in the next life, whatever else he was going to get. And if he associates with devotees, then that, because he has something, the mercy of a devotee, even the devotees just gives him one idli, or even half an idli. Or even he doesn't give it, he may even steal it. But he gets that mercy. Therefore, we read here, that all the devotees of the Lord traverse this earth just to recover the conditioned souls from this delusion. Devotees, they come to this world to help others, to give them some... Even not everyone will come in this life to devotional service, but they have the opportunity to, by seeing a devotee, by welcoming a devotee, by even inimically, if someone has some contact. That's not recommended. But somehow, if one has contact with devotees, they carry the mercy of Krishna. Otherwise, there's also the Bhogyanmukhi Sukriti. People perform pious activities specifically for the purpose of going to the heavenly planets. Just like the yagyic brahmanas in Vrindavan. They were thinking, what are these boys disturbing us? Asking us for some food. These low-class boys. What are they doing? We're engaged in yajnas. We're busy doing, it's important. They don't understand. They're just some wandering in the forest without any shoes and looking after cows. And yeah. But we're doing the high-class activity. These boys are disturbing us. So they didn't even speak. They didn't want to speak to them. They don't want to disturb their chanting of mantras. So because their aim is, by these sacrifices, they'll go to the heavenly planets. Their only aim is material enjoyment. And Krishna condemns them in Bhagavad Gita. Vedavadarata. They think they're the most pious, but they're just attached to the flowery words, pushpitam vachaha, flowery words of the Vedas, which recommend the opportunity for bhogaishvarya gating prati. They're doing it for the sake of attaining a situation where they will get material enjoyment and material opulence. And then again, what happens? Bhogaishvarya prasaktanam taya aparita chetasam. Aparita chetasam. This word comes. Their consciousness is covered. Their soul and their consciousness are not together. They're separate. So they become... Persons who are attached to material enjoyment and opulence, for them, tayaprita chetasam, samadhana vidhiyate. Because of that, they don't get the dhrita buddhi, the firm determination to become devotees of Krishna. So you see the different kinds of punya depending on the attitude of the person. There's also mokshonmukhi Sukriti. One may become detached from this world, not perform any sinful activities, so he can become liberated from this world. But especially those pious activities that are conducive to devotional service, even if someone may be otherwise very impious, but somehow, if they have contact with Krishna consciousness, that will help them. Maybe in the next life, maybe in this life, to take to Krishna consciousness. But devotees, their mercy, that is the main factor. Otherwise, we see that Jagai and Madhai, you've heard the names, they were brahmanas by birth, and they were living in a holy place, but they were performing many sinful activities. But by the mercy of Lord Nityananda, who was taking the position of a devotee, he's the Supreme Lord, but he delivered them. They became impressed. At least Jagai became impressed that he's been attacked. But still, He desires our benefit, and then his mind turned. So by the mercy of Lord Nityananda, even such a sinful person, Jagai and Madhai, sinful persons, even though they're born in Brahmin families, but they'd become the most sinful people, but they were saved, not by their pious activities, but by the mercy of Lord Nityananda. Therefore all preachers, they pray for the mercy of all devotees. They have to pray for the mercy of Nityananda to even become devotees. Arkobe nitai chande karuna hoibe shangshara bhashanamo kobe tucha hobe. When will I get the mercy of Lord Nityananda? Then the desires within my heart for enjoying this material world, they will become as if insignificant within my heart. So we need the mercy of Nityananda even to be a devotee, to properly practice devotional service. And then the mercy of Lord Nityananda to preach, Kobe Nityananda More Kore Doya. Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings in another song that I can, by the mercy of Lord Nityananda, I can engage in Nam Hatha, preaching Krishna consciousness. So the piety is required, but even an impious person, by the mercy of the devotees, they can be delivered. But generally, people who have had some contact with Krishna consciousness, then they can, from that situation, they can take advantage of the association of devotees. But even the great devotees, they can deliver even the most impious people. They can deliver the most impious. Therefore, about the devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it stated, Brahmanda tarite shakti dare jane jane. Every one of the devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has the power to deliver the whole universe. They can do so. If that means pious, impious, sinful, everyone can be delivered by the mercy of the devotee. That is the active principle. Bhaktis tu bhagavad bhakta sangena parijayate. Devotional service comes about by, it arises in the heart by the association of devotees who are like that example, that word Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has used, sadhu vaidya. We're all sick in this material world. The sickness is hritkama roga, heart disease. We all have heart disease. What is the heart disease? We all have material desire in the heart. So the sadhu vaidya, the devotee treats the disease of material desire by giving Krishna consciousness. And there are so many examples given that Maya is just like a pishachi. She's like a witch in which by her bad association, our material desires develop. Actually, we can't really blame Maya, we can blame ourselves, but by the influence of Maya, she gives facility to develop material desires. So when we come in this material world, we develop material desires, and then what happens, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu describes, kama krodha dasa hoya ta lati kai. When we become the servant of, instead of being servant of Krishna, we become the servant of material desires and anger, then we're kicked by the kicks of Maya. Then, brahmite brahmite, wandering in this material world, jodi shadu boida pai. In this situation, wandering this material world, getting kicked from body to body. We're kicked out of one body, kicked into another. Then if we, wandering in this material world in this way, if we can get the association of a devotee who's like a vaidya, a doctor. Tarupadesh mantre pishachi palai. mixing metaphors here. By the Upadesh mantra, by the instructions, Vedic instructions given by such a devotee, the witch runs away. She chases her out of our heart, the witch of Maya. Krishna bhakti pai, tobe Krishna nikot jai. Then we get devotion to Krishna, by which we can come close to Krishna. So is it better to be rich or to be poor, or what's the best? There's no ideal situation in this material world. The real wealth, dhanmar nityananda, if we can get the wealth of the association of the devotees or of the followers of Nityananda Prabhu, that is the real benefit to be gained in the human form of life. The human form of life is meant for God realization. For that, we require the association and the mercy of the devotees. The devotees, they always try to uplift everyone. those who are artha or artharthi or jignyasu, those who are materially distressed or desiring money or inquisitive, they may be better candidates for taking to devotional service in some kind of situation where they feel they're not very comfortable. I don't feel right. Jigyasu means why? What's going on? What's the meaning of life? If they're pious, it's a good time to approach them. But you can't say, Daksha was very materially pious, therefore he was one of the Prajapatis. But he became an offender to Lord Shiva. He became an offender to Narada also. But Narada thought at one point, now Daksha, kidnapped his sons once. Then he made another whole bunch of sons. Sent them back to Godhead. Did it twice. Now he's very depressed. So now's a good time to approach him. Now he's feeling materially distressed. He's a pious person. So and maybe I can preach to him. Maybe he'll take the devotional service also. But you can't tell. In Daksha's case, he cursed Narada. Rah, you think you're a sadhu. I'm a better sadhu than you. I follow. You're just causing havoc. Turning all these nice young boys. I was made a Prajapati to fill up the world. I brought them into existence so that they could fill up the universe. And you're just messing it all up. What kind of... I'm a better sadhu. I follow all the Vedic rules. What is all this? Telling people to go back to Godhead when they're supposed to create more population. So he cursed him. You can't stay in any place more than 3 days. Very bad curse for a materialist. Because you can't develop a nice house, nice family, business. What are you going to do for 3 days? You can't develop anything for material enjoyment. Narada thought, well, that's good. I won't become attached. Good for a preacher. No more than 3 days. The only place he stayed is in Vrindavan, because that's beyond the jurisdiction of curses. Then he wrote Narada Pancharatra. So Daksha, Narada thought, now he's in a good position for delivering him. I'll say, you want to be with your sons? You have to go back to Godhead. So you go with them too. But he wasn't interested. You can't tell. You can try and preach. Daksha, so pious. But he even got the darshan of Vishnu by performing austerities. And what did he take the benediction? To go on being pious in this material world. So you can't tell. Someone may be very... Sometimes you meet people and they seem very pious, worshipping Narayan and so many things. But then if you talk with them, they don't want to surrender to Krishna. They may actually be very... Some people worship Vishnu and they're actually very offensive in their mind to him. Jarasandha worship Vishnu, Shalagram. When Krishna came to him, he was impious, but he went to Krishna 18 times to attack him, to kill him. And at home he's worshipping, ding, 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 doing the Shalagram Puja. But he didn't recognize that Krishna is the same Narayan who he's worshipping. So there was no actual love, it was a formality. There was no actual love in his heart. He was doing it simply as a formality. Anyway, we shouldn't be too fixated on who's pious, who's impious. See, I'm born in a high family, and I'm taking to Krishna consciousness. You're just coming for the chapatis because you're not from a rich family. I could have been very rich, but I gave it all up to worship Krishna. And anyway, I must be better. So this kind of thinking, it's the same mundane thinking, identifying with one's material position. Sarvopadi vinir muktam tatparadvena nirmalam rishikena rishikesha sevanam bhakti ruchyate. When one becomes free from all designations, I'm very pious, brahmana, very good background, then one can worship Krishna. Or even if one thinks, I'm very poor background, so I have to do bhakti, and I'll get, by joining ISKCON, I can become materially well-placed, then I can help my family. Of course, in any way anyone comes in contact with devotees, that is helpful to them. But if one maintains material outlook, if one maintains a material outlook, then the Sadhu Vaidya's mantra upadesh, the instructions of the sadhu, the treatment won't work. We have to hear the sadhu, what he has to say. Otherwise, that is the method of treatment. If we don't take the treatment, it won't work. Even if we go through the motions of hearing, but we don't allow that to enter our heart, then there won't be any proper purification. One may be completely sinful, but if he actually surrenders to a Vaishnava and hears what he has to say with all humility, thinking that I have to learn, I have to follow, then in a second, or less than a second, lava matra, sadhu sanga sarva shastrikai, lava matra sadhu sanga sarva siddhipai. If one hears, then immediately one can cross over many lifetimes. Janma koti sukritaya nalabhyate. What is not attained in many lifetimes, if one simply hears from a sadhu and accepts that in the heart, then immediately that you get the benefit which one can't get in millions and millions of lifetimes of pious activities. One has to be willing to hear and serve and surrender. It's difficult because we identify with these bodies and what comes with the body. And we take our self-interest to be in terms of this body. Then we have to hear. Nati vidu swartagating hi Vishnu durashaya ye bahiratamaninas. We have to hear this is the wrong position to be in, to not accept Krishna as the goal of our life. To maintain material desires for being happy in this material world, which are external to our real self-interest. And we have to hear this, accept that. Then immediately, whatever our previous situation, we will become the most pious. And even if we're very pious and inclined to bhakti, still, te dandva moha nirmukta, we have to be free from the delusion of thinking in terms of myself, others. This is for my self-interest in terms of this body. Others are against me. What is it? Aham nija paro veti. This is mine, and then these are others. I, me, and mine. And then these are my enemies. Thinking like this. This is the cause of our bondage in this material world. So, we don't think that I'm born in a high family, therefore I'm automatically a devotee, or I'm born in a low family, therefore these people, they're all puffed up. I get the extra mercy of the Lord. Whatever situation we're in, take the mercy of Krishna and the Vaishnavas. This is a general indication. It may be that poor people are very proud also. It may be that a rich person is humble. And a poor person is proud. Sometimes we see that. You may say, what is the poor person proud of? There's nothing to be proud of. Still he's proud. Just imagines he's great. So many points to be understood from this verse. We cannot be sinful and have determination for Krishna consciousness. We cannot be cultivating desires for enjoying this material world and be determined in Krishna consciousness. We cannot be cultivating desires for even being comfortable in this material world. I'm not aspiring to be very rich, but just comfortable. But even that can be a blockage in our devotional advancement. If we think, first I have to have this condition, then I can do bhakti nicely. But real devotional service means that whatever condition we're in, we are running to Krishna, throwing ourselves to Krishna. The Atma Nikshepa, throwing ourselves to Krishna. That the boys, they came to the friends of Krishna, they came to us, the Yajnik Brahmanas, even they came directly to them, they weren't interested. But when the wives heard, oh, Krishna is here, they went running to Krishna. Whereas the Brahmanas, they were, oh, we don't want. Don't come to us. Don't even come to us. But for the Yajnapatnis, they could have said, okay, you cook and then you call Krishna and we'll... But no, they went to him. They went running to him. So we have to throw ourselves, Atma Nikshepa, throw ourselves at Krishna. And at the same time, we have to do so with consideration of our present position in the material world. Sadhana bhakti means it has to be executed according to our present position, but not that we remain stuck in our present position forever. Present position means I'm not ready to just immediately give up everything. If I try to do that when I'm not ready, then I'll fall down lower than the position I'm in now. So, sthane sthita, in the position we're in, we go on executing devotional service. But that doesn't mean we remain forever attached to this material world. We may be in family life, we may have so many responsibilities, but we should know this is all temporary. So within that situation, cultivate a spirit of complete devotion to Krishna, giving ourselves to Krishna. This is the param punya, highest piety, is to surrender to Krishna fully. Hare Krishna. Does anyone have any question about this, please? You see if anyone else has first. No. All right, go ahead.
Can we take this Bhajante Maam Dridhavrata as Nishtha stage in next?
Bhajante Maam Dridhavrata, ha! They worship me with a great vow. So Nishtha, that is one of the stages in devotional advancement on the pathway to Prem. Yeah, before that there is Anishtita. when one is not fully fixed. So prior to, as long as the anarthas are prominent within the heart, then there will be a not firm resolve. Though actually the firm resolve, that should be, that should begin in bhajana kriya. Bhajan means the surrender to the guru, that's, then one has to follow very seriously. Bhajana kriya means guvashraya Krishna shikshanu dikshanam. So at the stage of diksha, diksha kale bhakta kare atma samarpan. So even in the beginning of, even when the material desires are still there in the heart, strongly or prominently, then we should be so solid. Now I have to follow. So, anything else?
Say to karmis who want something or are in distress or in these four situations, is it okay to preach to them to come to the Lord for whatever desire they have? And amongst devotees, if they are in
to, is it all right to preach to non-devotees to worship Krishna to fulfill your material desires? It seems it should be from the Chaturvidha. Chaturvidha bhajanti mambas, but it was never encouraged by our acharyas. And Narad Muni specifically told Vyasadeva that you did what you're supposed to do, but it's worse than useless. Now compose Srimad Bhagavatam. So people may come with those desires and be purified, but our acharyas, they haven't recommended. They, we don't find anyone preaching that you can. Practically, those who are preaching Krishna consciousness, they never preach that. Although we may encourage people at different levels. Srila Prabhupada, he made a life membership program for people who are not ready to fully surrender. They can give some monetary contribution. But that was also meant for that they take his books. They come to the temple. The 3 days is not supposed to be a holiday and you save your hotel fees. It's supposed to be that they associate with devotees. Narad Muni engaged Dhruva. If one is as expert as Dhruva, as Narada, he may do so. Otherwise, we ourselves may be in danger if we ourselves speak, you'll get your material desires fulfilled. Then we may think, well, I've got my material desires also. I can also indulge in that and then also become a devotee. And that's a great danger. We see in our movement at the present time, in some of the temples, they recommend you do different pujas to fulfill your material desires. And then we preach to people like that. Instead of telling them, you got the rare human form of life, now you chant Hare Krishna and go to Krishna. We tell them, well, if you give this many rupees, you can get, we'll do you a yajna, and then you'll get your material desire fulfilled. Well, that wasn't why Srila Prabhupada made his disciples into brahmanas, so they can perform yajnas for people to fulfill their material desires. He made them into brahmanas so they can give brahma vidya to others. So you can preach like that, but the result is that people come to devotional service and they remain on that platform. And you're saying we'll preach to the devotees to not cultivate material desires, but then who's a devotee and who's not a devotee? Because you're telling people chant Hare Krishna for fulfilling material desires. So you get a whole community of people wanting to fulfill material desires. And that's now enshrined, that your career is your devotional service or your studies. People have strong material ambitions and you tell them that's devotional service without differentiating between the material ambition and pure devotional service to Krishna. And you say, this equals this. It might do. If someone has a very strong desire to serve Krishna and they find that, or their guru tells them that you remain in your career and serve Krishna in that way. But if we say that, well, we'll preach to others that you have a good career. See, I've got a good career. You can also have a good career and you can also chant Hare Krishna. So then we're promoting devotional service at the level of fulfilling material desire. It becomes more like sakama bhakti, devotional service with material desires. So it's not automatic that distressed person or the materially desirous person becomes a devotee. They have to come to the platform of a jnani, which in this case means jnanavang mam prapadyate. Jnani means they understand I have to surrender to Krishna, not try to get something from Krishna. But generally that may bahunam janmanam ante, that may take many births. For one who is to come to that level. Whereas now you have the chance, chant Hare Krishna, go to Krishna. Srila Prabhupada specifically said, when the Bhakti Godhead magazine was being promoted, in the Bhakti Godhead magazine they are promoting that you chant Hare Krishna, you'll get free from stress. You chant Hare Krishna and it'll make your family life better. Prabhupada stopped that. He changed the editor. The editorial policy was to promote it like this. Prabhupada, when he heard about it, he changed the editor. He said, don't do this. You should teach. Do bhakti for getting pure love of God. So we do make facilities for people that they can come, they can give donations, they can come to the temple, join the kirtan. We have a nice garden, you can sit in the garden and take prasadam. So it's not that we, it's not like these Shia Muslims that we beat them. This is your devotional service. But we, unless the message is strong and clear, then people aren't going to get it. And even if it's strong and clear, they often don't get it. So there is a danger in presenting a mixed message, or one that actually it's not. It may not even be mixed. It's that you chant Hare Krishna and your material desires will be fulfilled. There's not even any trace of pure love of Krishna. Then people may say, well, it seems that Sai Baba is doing a better job these days than Krishna. People are going to him, Sai Baba. So if you have material desires, there's a train from Bangalore to Tirupati and there's a train to, what's that station? Near to that. There's a train station beginning with M. I remember I was going from one train in Hyderabad to Bidar in Karnataka. Manmad, that's it. And I say, why are there so many trains from Hyderabad to Manmad? What's the big thing about Manmad? There are three trains a day. Oh, it's the nearest station to Shirdi. That's why. So, just last Sunday, I asked the people, and I was in Bhimavaram in Andhra Pradesh. So, who's the biggest god in Andhra Pradesh these days? Is it Venkata? They're saying Venkata. No. Sai Baba. He's eclipsed Venkateshwar. More temples. More interest. So that's we have to make it clear. Otherwise, everything becomes all mixed up. Already, there, at least in one temple I heard, they sell pictures in their shop of Sai Baba. Yeah. Brings in money. Then we can preach with the money. But don't preach about worshipping Sai Baba, because then people won't give money. So we're raising money so that we can preach, but we can't preach because we're raising money. We lose sight of what we're supposed to be doing.
Can there be piety in modern society? Because
can there be piety in modern society? Yeah, someone can ring your doorbell and give you Prabhupada's books and then you buy them. This way there can be piety. Give some of your money for Krishna's service. Go to the temple, take prasad. Yeah, something may be there. Some people are trying to protect cows. But in general, it's not at all conducive for pious life. You can see how Bangalore, the more modern it becomes, the more impious it becomes. It's sinful and unhappy and very bad pollution. Not just air pollution, but mind pollution. That's worse. It's an inverse proportion. The more modern, the more sinful. Otherwise, Bangalore used to be thought of as very pious, good people. Not now. Still, some people are there. But they're all caught up in modern life. Last night I stayed in Vijayawada at a house rented by our devotees, so they come together every Sunday for satsang. That's what they rent the house for. That's it. They come together every Sunday morning. The rest of the week, nothing. That's it. That's their Krishna consciousness. One morning. And the rest of the time they might do something at home. That's modern life. No time, no inclination, in many cases also. Anyway, that's another subject. Hare Krishna! We'll finish there for now. And I'll come back and distribute prasadam, because I have to go.